Okay, last one for this evening will be remote viewing.
Okay.
Lest anyone be confused, what is termed remote viewing is simply telepathy, a natural and fairly common occurrence among mankind and animals who call the Earth their home. Telepathy is intrinsic to life, but only about 10% of the human population has enough native capacity to take note of it. Those with native capacities soon learn that they can anticipate phone calls from friends, anticipate and guard against personal attacks, and seem to intuitively understand what their loved ones need and want. The government has never failed to use telepathy to accomplish whatever they might consider their ends, but after observing the seamless way aliens could work together without a word spoken, the issue got hot, as MJ-12 was in those days heavily dominated by the CIA. They took the topic and affected their goals, or the goals of the operation, with their own twists. Remote viewing under the CIA's auspices was not done to simply garner intelligence on legitimate government security concerns. It was used to invade privacy, secure blackmail material, assist break-ins and thefts, amuse agents who wanted to snoop for personal reasons, and keep tabs on rival government agencies. When the operation failed to curtail enemy actions due to complete lack of awareness of enemy plans and failure to predict, it ostensibly was shut down. As with all bureaucracy enclaves, it sought to perpetuate itself by reinventing its goals. Remote viewing would become a handy disinformation tool, impressing the public with what might seem to be an ability to read minds, and therefore spread disinformation as valid facts garnered through telepathy. To ensure a gullible public will believe, the remote viewing track record is supported by information supplied by the CIA.
Okay. There are too many contradictions, and that's a list. Too many. Let us pick four key topics.
Okay.
Telepathy. Telepathy is the exchange of information from one mind to another. Actually, on this point, they are close to the mark. There are a number of people on your planet that do exchange information telepathically. They are also able to hear and receive and pick up the mind thoughts of other people. This is true and correct. Okay, let us look on remote viewing. They describe it as telepathy. But viewing suggests using vision. Vision suggests seeing, not reading people's minds. Reading people's minds falls under the first category of telepathy. Viewing is something totally different. It is something that you do not do with your ears, but with your eyes. In this case, you're using your mind's eyes, or your third eye, to be able to view and see what is going on. How can this, something that you do with your eye or your mind's eye, is something that you do with your mind's ears? This is very confusing and hard to understand, unless you look at it closer. By making a statement that remote viewing is telepathy, is designed to confuse, to smear and fudge the issues, so that it looks silly and hard to believe, and therefore is easily, as they put it, discarded. Remote viewing is fact. A better way to describe it is astral traveling or farsighting. As that suggests, you see something from afar, you view it from afar, you travel in your astral form. All things that you do without using your mind's ears. Governmental agencies using these abilities. Sadly, this does happen. It happens in such a way that it can be almost comical to watch. One group snooping on the other group, assuming the other group does not have this ability. In actual fact, it does. It is very funny for the outside observer to watch the silly precautions they take in an almost paranoid fit to snoop on the other party. The parties involved, the CIA, FBI, and various other rogue agencies, go through a regular song and dance, snooping at each other. What is even more funny to watch is the KGB and other Soviet or former Soviet organizations that go through the same routine, as well as trying to snoop on their counterparts in the US and other countries that also run similar projects. This is quite hilarious to watch from the outside and very entertaining. Personally, I prefer it more than watching some of your entertainment devices on your communication system. Lastly, disinformation given out in a confusing form. My previous statement is designed to emphasize the silliness of the wording in this situation. I worded it in such a way that it is difficult to understand as an example of how you can say very little by saying quite a lot. So we cover position three. Basically, what is happening is that you have a number of organizations that are aware that each organization has the ability. They work together from time to time as a team, but like to keep tabs on each other by employing individuals that can astral travel and individuals that can pick up another people's minds and transmit that information to a relay individual. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar.
Did you enjoy that little silly commentary in part three?
That was very enjoyable, yes.
Interesting.
It'll read good on the webpage, I guess.
And you put it in the order I described it. You do not put in the last bit underneath that bit.
Yeah.
That comes late because it is designed to make it, people will go, huh? And then when they read that, they will understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll go on word for word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Johnny, last question.
Nothing at this point.
Okay, thank you. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
See you around, dude.
Yeah,
he did that very well.
Quite interesting.
I think he
analyzed though.
I look forward to rubbing sessions like that.
Yeah. I mean, he did it in all seriousness with a lot of humor involved. I suppose you want me to put on your wife mind.
My twin soul?
Twin soul, bond mate, wife.
Better half.
So I'm now an editor, huh?
I don't know about the, you know, my healer friend. It's a little bit unspecific.
I think Ashar at the time was that quite busy.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You just want to whip through it as quickly as possible and use whatever came to mind.
It's like my healer friend. I'm trying to think of who my healer friend up there.
You're married to one, thank you. Okay, let us get down to series.
Okay, Kerry.
So I am Kerry, yes. What would you like to know about?
All I got was part about a little bit about she's smoking the bit.
Yes, but she's coming back.
She is. Okay.
We explained to her about cravings, some of the bizarre cravings that she's going through, the fact that she wants to make love but has no edge.
Right.
We told her that would come back. We explained to her every bit and detail. All the things that she's going to go through. And she is doing fine. She is a classic pregnant young lady.
Good.
There is nothing exceptional about her and nothing negative going on. The baby is developing fine. It is developing fingers, toes, and feet. It hasn't got to the point where you can read fingerprints or hear a regular heartbeat, although that is taking place. We have given her a whole load of things to do that will make her closer with the baby.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, the thoughts are random and uncontrolled, and therefore it is not a coherent thought process. By week 12, it will start to develop thought processes. By the time she is 6 months pregnant, she will be able to communicate telepathically. This is one of our teaching methods that we use. The reason that the children up here have such a bond with us parents is that we communicate telepathically. This is going to have a twofold sword of what we gave it to. It will create a tighter link between care and the baby, and hopefully create a telepathic link between mother and child later on.
Now, what about psychic skills while in the womb?
They would develop like any other ability.
Okay.
I believe Kiri covered all the abilities that the baby will have potential access to. Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's Kiri's conversation wasn't taped.
Well, that's right, it wasn't.
No, no
it wasn't.
And it's just better if it wasn't.
Okay, we'll leave it as such.
Yeah, because that is between us and Kiri.
Now, what were we going to say before?
About?
Before we got into Kiri.
Sorry, you erased my mind when you started me taking on Kiri.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It must be quite good.
Well, actually, it brought up things that were on the lower levels that were on the back burner that now come to the front burner.
Okay. So humor, important from our point of view. To give
yes. Love and support.
Always.
Yeah. Tell her that she can call whenever she wants somebody to talk to.
Okay.
Yeah. Regardless of day or time, night, whatever. Because she will at times get a little bit unstable. That's something that you must understand and bear with. She may phone up and be crying, saying that Mike doesn't love her, etc. Mike does love her very much. Otherwise, he would not have tolerated some of her behavior. Because she can be quite, can throw quite a temper.
Well, we've already called
him. Yeah. Yeah, instead of screaming and shouting at Mike, tell her that she can fall and scream and shout at you guys.
She'll have more fun that way.
Yes. And besides, you know how to make her laugh.
Of course. She can call me a butthead till her ears turn blue. I don't mind.
Well, Mike loves her probably more than you will ever know.
I agree.
In fact, I think she worships the ground that she walks on. She's not aware of how much.
She will get it before.
Yeah. I think Mike will be the one that will be getting up and changing the diaper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I think he will absolutely adore this little time. Spoil it rotten. And if anything, and this is something that Kiri must be made aware of after the baby has been born and after she has got over a postpartum depression, is the hours that you will be working will be a lot longer. This isn't because he doesn't love Kiri and he wants to be away from the baby. It's because he loves the baby and Kiri that he will work longer and harder hours.
Yeah, support them.
Yeah, make life better for them.
Yeah.
He will probably give himself ulcers and bend over backwards and hurt himself and carry on going as if nothing is wrong. So Kiri will have to be very careful not to set up his toes when he is busting, as you would say, his gut to bring home the bread.
Okay, good.
But don't bring that up until after she's got over the depression
part. Right, I'll bring it up during the depression part.
Yes, very smartly. And you will have me to deal with.
I'm going to have you in my head if he's going to tell me not to. You.
Exactly.
So what do I have to worry about? I rarely override you if I can help it.
But you do.
I have to sometimes. Because I have to maintain, I guess, some kind of individual sense.
Oh, it's a male thing. Sorry.
Oh, don't know.
Okay. All right. Carrie was here, she would find that very funny.
Yes, she would. Internet-wise.
Yes.
Working with people in conversations on bringing about their understanding and learning. Mm-hmm. This is a form of healing, correct?
Yes.
How so?
By bringing out what is on their mind, you can look at it, hold it up to the sunlight, see the problem, and address the problem. Simple as that.
Well, what does this mean?
You're healing by words. You are looking at the problem, you're addressing the situation, and you're coming up with an informed answer. And by coming up with an answer, you come up with a cure. For example, if you take Iris, mm-hmm. she obviously had some scars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she was injured by what was said by the safety of the kitchen, and was injured because she believed that looking deeper into it, she sees the lacking in continuity.
Well, you mean the past life?
Yes.
Right.
And she has been damaged by discussing it and being given a different point of view. She is formulating by looking at one side and the other side an answer. Is that not healing?
Well, I could argue with if I wanted to.
Please.
Oh, no, really, I don't have any arguments to give you.
Okay.
Much as, it's perfectly put.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to argue, this conversation serves no further purpose.
It's what you would call spiritual healing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
you little teaser.
I'm teasing them, I think.
Yes, you are.
That would know me too well.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, and then what about the folks who are completely and totally negative, such as Apple?
Mm-hmm.
The healing there, you want to just beat them over the head with a computer monitor. well, it's probably more my healing than theirs. So you'll talk to them and try to explain in a very slow, childlike manner.
The way that you beat them is show them love and compassion. You do not deviate from your path because that would give them the false sense of I won, and behave even more childlike.
Right.
How do you deal with a child that is errant? Do you pick it up and say, there, that doesn't matter. You go ahead and do what's wrong. Do you pick it up and say, don't ever do that again? Or I will spank it. And if it doesn't again, what do you do? Do you pick it up and go, there, that doesn't matter? Or do you spank it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is the only way. You've seen me spank Farah.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it's like, I know, I've had this conversation with Mark and Carrie and Tia already before about
And me numerous times
about explaining what is actually wrong and why you shouldn't do that and why kids would not pay attention to that if you did.
Sometimes they do not understand. And
right.
The only way is you pull that cat's tail, you hurt the cat runs and hides. How would you like it if I spanked it? If you don't follow through, the child would go ahead and pull the tail again and become cruel and abusive towards cats. So, by saying to the cat, saying to the child, you pull that cat's tail again, I will spank you. And spanking's hurt. The child goes off, pulls the feline's tail again. You spank the child. You also explain that that is wrong, and if it pulls the tail again, it will get the same treatment until it learns to stop. You have a perfectly good, or we have a perfectly good pain mechanism. But yet, parents on your planet today seem not to want to use that because it's child abuse to inflict pain, even if it is only temporary pain. For example, Russ. Has your mother ever spanked you?
With the living shit out of me.
Let us take an example of when you stole something from a shop. Your mother ripped the living hell out of you. She got when she found out.
No, my stepdad did.
Okay, your stepdad did. Would you do that again?
I did that again.
And what happened?
Nothing. Didn't get caught.
Didn't get caught. You went extra hard to make sure that you didn't get caught.
Well, true, yeah.
Okay. Let us pick something where you did get caught. You pick the subject this time.
All right. I got caught coming home late, I got caught sneaking out of the house to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
My stepdad kicked the shit out of me then, too.
Did you do it again?
No. Didn't do it again that time.
Okay. Why not? Look at it honestly. Don't let me some psycho dribble.
No, I'm not. I didn't want to get the shit kicked out of me again.
Exactly. You can't do that nowadays with children.
I still
You'll be arrested.
Exactly. But Russ is a prime example of why it works. Russ was only temporarily physically hurt. Mentally, there was no damage. But there was no permanent damage. You have no permanent scars from that beating, do you?
Of course not.
Do you have any mental scars from that beating?
No, yes.
But they stopped you from doing naughty things like that again?
Yeah.
So therefore, it is not a scar, but a memory.
Okay.
Any more questions? John?
No,
not at this point. Okay. See you later, lad.
Bye-bye.
See you, Adam. We have to get you asked for traveling, bud. Get you a good woman up here.
Sure.
Or a good man.
I prefer a woman.
Got any good at getting good choices for women up here to wrap Johnny Foot there?
We can look around. We could probably find somebody.
Sure.
But apparently sleeping with a third-dimensional male is a little bit of upmanship around here at the moment.
I don't have anybody banging on my door.
What about Terry?
Well, Terry was... I was a breeding stud at that point.
What about Gonzo?
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
What about Laika?
Well, Laika's fine.
What about Luna? What about Kiri?
Well, Kiri, that's incest.
Incest is best.
Even with that.
Yeah. Okay. How much tape have we got there, Buana?
15 minutes.
No, we only got about 10.
45.
About 11 minutes.
Okay, well, it's 9:30 now, guys. Find out who's right and who's wrong.
Okay, it's 9:30.
Okay, now, who else is wrong?
You're looking at it.
Nice going down.
That is very impossible, Russ. I mean, it can't get much lower with the mental level that you're at.
Okay, all right. Truth. That was pretty fun, though.
I mean, how can you get lower from being down right at the very bottom core of your planet? There isn't anywhere lower than that.
Hey, that was a nice little wrestling session with Mark Manor.
Do you know he could have severely hurt you numerous times in that?
Of course they did. That's
what's fun. The fact that he was not retaliating properly. The fact that he was trying to relax. I heard him go, knock it off, I'm trying to relax.
Well, we've never done it before. So.
He's quick, isn't he? Very agile, too.
Yeah, he knocked you on your ass, didn't he?
Anyway.
Yeah, but he took you down real quick and easy.
Yeah.
I don't think you should push Mark too much. From what I've heard, there is a point where if you react in a certain way, Mark's body, his mind takes over. It's all automatic and very dangerous and quick. There's a story that he tells, and I believe he's told you, he's told me a couple of times, because I did it to him on one occasion and triggered a reaction that scared the hell out of me. Yeah, is that Mark will respond in a certain situation that his he appears to shut down, but react like a machine, a robot, like somebody's programmed it. And that is something to watch, is you watch his eyes, because his eyes will go blank. And he's not aware of what he's doing. It's very dangerous. Because twice, I believe, he's come close to severely hurting somebody. Probably higher. I know that his eyes went blank on me, and Kiri stepped in. Yeah, stopped him dead, cold in his tracks, frozen. Yeah, she knew what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, she had to be at that point. Because, I mean, he could have hurt me from what he said very easily. Even my speed and agility. I can't remember offhand. I'd have to think a second. I started to advance on him, and I brought my foot up. He caught my foot as I brought it up. And he started to flick it up, but he stepped it on my other foot.
Play fighting.
We do that from time to time. He stepped on my foot, and he had his one foot on my foot whilst pushing my leg up. And Kiri stopped him, because he would have just carried on going, pushing my leg higher and higher until I was almost split.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he would have broken my leg. Yeah, probably damaged my pelvis as well.
Oh,
yeah. No, it wouldn't be his fault. He's been programmed. The question is, in something that is ingrained that deep that only comes out occasionally, you break the program. You might break the machine.
Any news for the web? For the page?
For me? Well, we can't include the dog fight, unfortunately, the big one.
Why not?
Oh, you want the official report from the dogfight?
Yeah.
Okay, I can have that in. Thank you. No, just the report. Yeah, thank you. Glasses too, thank you. Okay. At 0302. Patrol. Alpha Zeta. Funny coincidence. On patrol over Kazakhstan, spotted a flight of 8. Flight Alpha Zeta moved in to investigate. The flight attacked, but was chased off. No damage to either party. The patrol continued on its flight over Lower Siberia. A force of 36 craft approached a flight of 3 from Flight Alpha Zeta. Flight Alpha Zeta requested backup in a tone of voice that denoted concern. A dogfight ensued. 2 flights were scrambled and sent to the situation. At this point, the lead craft from Flight Alpha Zeta was damaged and put in a situation where it no longer had the firing capability. It withdrew from the battle. As it withdrew, it requested another flight to be sent. A flight was sent. In the ensuing melee, 13 aircraft were destroyed of the hostile force. Backup for Flight Alpha, Zeta, and the other flights that had shown up on the scene occurred. 3 more flights were sent in, giving a total of total of 21 craft being involved in the dogfight. Of these, 5 were damaged, all repairable. 1 was destroyed. Fortunately, the pilot ejected over a area of Middle Siberia, near an area of Tunguska. Very strange and coincidental. One pilot was injured due to exuberant celebration before being extracted from the cockpit of the aircraft. All aircraft are now fully operational, and a replacement aircraft or 2 replacement aircraft have arrived on the base with a new pilot. End of report.
Thank you.
Tol could have given a much better report. It would go something along the lines of, well, we were watching R6 and I came up on the inside and we came in above the aircraft as it pulled a negative inside loop.
I even assume that we're not going to add the part about pilot having a slight mistake.
It's been investigated. It's not been investigated by Ashtar Commander. It's been investigated because it did not involve an Ashtar personnel.
The pilot wasn't part of Ashtar personnel?
They're not. None of them are.
Independent contractors?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, how can you not say that they work for Ashtar Command? Because they take direct orders from...
No, it's a mutual thing. They do things for us, and we do things for them.
Well, Ashtar Command suggests something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, if he is found guilty, Russ, that's it for him. If he is found guilty of negligence, right, they all know that their flying days are over. Basically, it's a death sentence for them. Because they were originally genetically engineered for one purpose and one purpose only, to fly. And now it's so ingrained in them. So them. You take Toll's little one, right? He's already beat up in a few craft. Yeah, Toll took him to Sirius. If you remember, the skiing in Toll's craft, he sat in between Toll's legs. It's instinctual for them.
Well, he could go on training.
No.
Because it's a similar. So Toll's son will become a pilot.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It's
something that's inbred, that's
correct.
Fixed.
It's so ingrained.
He's not going to be a scientist or an engineer or anything else.
He will be a pilot. He is genetically bred, or they were genetically bred for that purpose. Mm-hmm. Your planet talks about natural pilots, right? There's no such thing as a natural pilot on your planet. Because your planet hasn't had flight long enough for it to become common.
Right.
There are people on your planet now that still remember a time where flight was unheard of. Or powered flight. In Toll's race, they have been flying spacecraft for close to 2,000 years. They have had flight for probably 2,500 years. So you're talking about a race that has been in space for 2,000 years. And I'm not talking about space as in the space shuttle, but being able to travel from one planet to another. They are designed for the specific function and reactions. I mean, I'm fast. My reactions are fast.
What planet are they from?
They're from a planet, but because they're genetically engineered, or were originally genetically engineered, it's something that is debatable. We're both wrong, Russ. It's over 15 minutes. Okay, so there is a root race, but they've been genetically altered where that is their primary function is flying spaceships, whether it is a freighter or a combat ship or a transport ship or a huge colony ship. That is what they're designed for, is to navigate, to fly.
The blue guys we're talking about.
That's correct. Yeah. That is what they are primarily bred for. Some of them can do ground control. The older ones are ground control because they know that they no longer have the reflexes. They still have the reflexes to make a snap decision for a flight of aircraft.
Now the big colony ships.
Uh-huh.
Where do they fly to?
Well, they normally fly backwards and forwards from bases and stuff. Or they take groups of individuals from one place to another. For example, if you have a particularly dangerous colony mission where you're taking, let's say, 2,000 individuals to a colony. Let's say your planet's doing this, right? And listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Your planet is colonizing, let's say, a planet orbiting Alpha Centauri, right? Okay. Let's say you have to navigate through some very nasty asteroids, right? An asteroid field. To get there. Now, this gentleman takes an entrance exam, enters the academy, becomes an incredible pilot, and ends up actually being the pilot in charge of that flight. Now, unfortunately, during the flight, he can't get to his favorite drink, and his skin turns blue. That's what some of them do. Mm-hmm. That's what some of them actually do, is work in the third dimension. Because there isn't really enough of a living up here for them to make. You see, they once were, or their root race was a third dimensional race. They're six dimensional now, because they are linked to their ships. Their ships are almost constant.
Like an air force or something down there?
There's none on your planet.
Oh.
I'm taking that as a hypothetical situation. I'm not going to say Chuck Yeager happens to have blue skin underneath that. Or Pappy Boyington. Or, what's his name? Grissom is too short. Campbell. Or Carpenter. Or Sherrar or Slayton. Yeah. They're not blue guys, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's the sort of thing that they end up doing, some of them. Is that they relinquish their six-dimensional heritage to fulfill what they're bred for.
Flight.
Flight.
Yeah, but wouldn't that mean they might come up against guys from the base?
In a hostile situation?
Yeah.
Very unlikely. Mainly because most of the missions that they're on are peaceful exploration missions. Occasionally they will bump into their colleagues from the base or from bases, right?
It's like they go to one plane and do something and they meet when the hidden base ship stops for a search.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? How's mom and dad?
No, it's normally along the lines of that's where telepathy comes into play.
Oh.
Yeah, they can't walk up, shake hands, and they happen to blow their cover. They can't do that.
Right.
It's more along the lines
of
private mode and communicate and ask how everything's going and pass on messages. Because, the blue guys, they see auras. They know when there's a pilot on board a ship. Mm-hmm. Now, if the pilot is injured, they will come on and board and set up a situation where it appears he gets killed. A fight breaks out. And then they will take him home and get him fixed up, change his face, and send him back to the place. Or he can stay in the sixth dimension. I think Tolle's done a tour like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I'm only assuming. I'm guessing, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, when you talk about natural pilots on your planet, no, there is no such thing.
Not yet.
Not yet. You've got
We've got to evolve more.
You've got to have a heritage of, in one family, let's take 200 years, but they've continuously, the father and mother, it's got to be father and mother, all the way back to great-great whatever grandmother it is and grandfather, have to be pilots.
Interesting.
They have to have piloting skill. For example, let us say your mother, right, take her back in time. Yeah, right, and she married... Yeah, your grandmother was Amelia Earhart, who married, let's say, Chuck Yeager.
Charles Bell. I mean, Albert Bell.
Albert Bell. Okay. And their son happens to be Chuck Yeager and somebody else.
The one just
flew
qualified the F-16.
Yeah. And so on, all the way down, right? You've got 10 generations, right,
mm-hmm.
of pilots. The 11th generation is not an actual pilot, but there is that possibility that it might be. The 12th, there's more of a chance of being a natural pilot, but not totally. The 13th, again, the same thing. The 14th, the same again. The 15th, more likely, but not definitely a natural pilot.